And if God's doing a reset, I'm surprised really what people believe regarding Christmas. They really don't understand. I don't think most of them understand what Christmas is really all about. It's not about away in a manger, no crib for a bed, even though you had that. And it's not about presents, even though he is that. I really believe we as believers, as the Church of God in general, have to really reset our thinking and our faith on what we believe. And it really starts at Christmas. Amen? Are you with me? It really starts with Christmas. About this babe that came. But he didn't just come. He was prophesied 42 generations from the beginning of time. G'day, buddy, how are you? From the beginning of time, he was prophesied. 700 years prior to that, Isaiah prophesied over him numerous times. This babe was no coincidence. In fact, God prophesied that he would have a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He wasn't slain, but because God sees those things that are not as though they are, and time doesn't coexist with God. But before the foundation of the world, there was a lamb. Amen. So I want to go on a journey of really what Christmas is all about, so we can reset our faith on who he is. Amen. Because we can celebrate him, and you can clap him, and you can even sing a song about him, but it doesn't mean you know him. It really doesn't mean you know him. Just ask the 5,000 that followed him because he fed them. And when he got to the other side of the river or the sea, that same 5,000 were there. Not because they knew him. They were just looking for another meal. They just wanted another free meal. But when he offended them, do you know Jesus offends us sometimes? Oh, yeah. He brings offense to you. He wants to... Sorry. He wants to offend that religiosity in me. He wants to offend that stuff in me that he wants to shake out of me. So when he offended them, said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And it says this was an offense to them. And they all walked away. Jesus is not just a bless me club. He's God Almighty. I really want to sit down. Is that all right? Yeah. I want to teach this morning. I really want to teach this morning so you and I can get a foundation of what you and I really believe, especially about Christmas. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to 9. It all starts with the love of God. Jesus that came is a representation of the love of the Father towards his people. It says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to 9, for you are a holy people. This is the Lord talking to Israel. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself. He chose you. I'm going to reiterate this. He chose you. You did not choose him. A people for a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. You and I to God are a special treasure. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the peoples. In other words, he didn't choose you for who you were. Didn't choose you for your strengths, didn't choose you for your ability, and he certainly didn't choose us for our good looks. He chose me because of one reason, and one reason, he loved me. Amen? And thank God, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Because the Lord loves you, verse 8, and because he would keep the oath which his fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I think it's in Leviticus, says, I brought you out that I might bring you in. You were brought out, and I was brought out for a reason, to bring us into something. God doesn't bring me out and leave me out. God did not bring you out to leave you out. God brought you out to bring you into something. Can I have an amen? Who believes that this morning? Your God has to bring you into something. Amen. Whatever your something is. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God. Here is the key. He is the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. Who wants mercy for 1,000 generations after you? Who wants your... You sung a song this morning. My children, my children's children to 1,000 generations. Right? I want that for me. I want children. I want my children to walk in the blessedness of God. And when I'm gone and I'm walking the streets of glory, I can look down and say, they're still here. Hallelujah. 1,000 generations for those who what? Love Him. Here is the dilemma. Who love Him and keep His commandments. This is the crux of the whole point of why Jesus came as a baby. That we might learn of Him and have the capacity to keep His commandments. Amen? Next slide, please. The weakness of this testament, of this Old Testament, was this. Was not God's love, but the ability to return that love and obey. Because God wanted me to walk by faith. But what happened was the children of Israel and the Old Testament church walked by works. And works will kill your faith. It will kill your joy. And it will kill your love. Don't get me wrong. Faith without works is, I have to have action with my faith. But it is not the reason that God loves me. The reason He loves me is because He chose me. And I have to walk by faith. Romans 8 and 3 says, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through what? How was the law weak? How did the Old Testament fail? It failed because of flesh. It did not fail because God made it too hard. In fact, the Bible says the law was righteous and pure altogether. The law is righteous and true. But we fill the law because of the weakness of my flesh. Adam, it began with Adam. Adam was created by God. He had no sin. God did not create Adam with sin. God created him righteous and holy and pure before Him. The thing that caused Adam to fail was deceitfulness of sin. Deceit of sin. A deception of sin, which brought forth the past sin, which is... It's all right to talk to me back? Okay, you're allowed to speak. So it brought forth what? Death. Death has an account. Death has an account. So God did not send His own Son in the likeness of sin flesh on account of what? Sin. Death has an account. In other words, Jesus had paid a debt, came to pay a debt I could not pay. And He paid a debt He did not owe. That's an old, old song. Do you remember that? Who washed my sins away, and now I know, a brand new song. Amazing grace, the whole day long. I needed someone to wash my sins. Anyway, 1980. So His love was so great, He chose to come into the likeness of sinful flesh. He came into the likeness of who I was, because I lost His likeness. When Adam fell, His likeness changed. Through the deceitfulness of sin. He stepped down through 42 generations to redeem and restore that which was originally intended. God wanted a man in the cool of the day in fellowship with Him. Adam, the first Adam. The first Adam. It is not a singular person. Adam represents humanity or mankind, because in Genesis 5 and 2 it's, and He called their name Adam. Man and woman. Look it up if you want. Don't believe me. Genesis 5 and 2, he called their name Adam. Amen. His stepdad through four originally intended that the fellowship and intimacy with his creation, which was broken because of the deceitfulness of sin, that caused a weakness in the flesh, in the family. She was deceived, the Bible says. Is that right? She was deceived. The first thing Jesus warns us of in Matthew 24, when the disciples said, "Tell us of the Son of Man," the first warning he said is, "Do not be
deceived."
Do not be deceived. All right? So God the Creator took the form of his creation and became the last Adam. I want to really hit that. He is not the second Adam because there is not a third one. He's the last one. He is the last Adam because all other things are in him. You're in him. I'm part of the Adam. I am not an Adam by myself. I'm part of the Adam. Are you with me? To condemn. What did he come for? To condemn. Pass sentence and judgment on sin in the flesh. And to destroy him who had the power of death, which is the devil. All things were subject to man prior to Jesus coming, except one thing. Just like today, find that birds of the air, things underneath the waters, things on the earth, are all subject to man. He rules the animal kingdom. He has power over all things. Yet there is one man has not got power of, death. And he knew the only way to do something and restore something was to destroy the power of death, which means to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. So this God, this wonderful God, who was prophesied 42 generations ago to come down in the form of a baby, in the form of a baby, he took on the same body that the first Adam had, sinless. Sinless, without sin. The first Adam created was without sin. Sinless. He had purpose and he had all dominion. And the power of death was not over him. We don't know how old Adam was. It doesn't refer to how old Adam was. No one knows how Adam was. We know Methuselah was 969. But we don't know how old Adam was. He must have been quite old. Because when Cain left the presence of the Lord and his father, he went to where? He went to a what? He went to a city. Who populated? Mankind. Where did they come from? So how old was Adam? He's old. But all of a sudden when Satan came in, his days were numbered. Amen. Why would God do this? Why would God want to set me free, the object of his love, the desire of his heart? Why did he come down? Why did he do that for me? Because God's perpetual love has been satisfied for the sole reason that he loves you. In other words, he did not wait for you to love him back. He sent his gift. He sent his son. Jesus, the Christ, the Word, became flesh and was manifested so he could redeem me, the object of his love, the one he wanted fellowship with, the one who he wanted to walk in the way with, the one that was designed and created by him to walk with him and be like him. Was Adam like God? It's gone really quiet. Was Adam like God? I'm talking about the Adam at the beginning, not the unregenerated Adam. He looked like God. Did he act like God? Did he have dominion over all things? Did he name all creation? Yes. Did he walk in the cool of the day with the Lord? Yes. Can God dwell with sin? No. Like him. He was made to fellowship with him. He was in communion with him. Yeah. He was naked and unashamed with his God. Not that I'm unique. Not that I deserve it or could I earn it. On the contrary, I just have to receive it and obey. Say it with me. I can't earn this. I've got to receive it. Come on, say it with me. I've just got to receive it. And? And obey. And obey. I've got to receive it by faith. Come on. I've got to receive this by faith and be obedient to what he has said. And when he says, when you obey, in other words, he's saying, now I've destroyed the power of sin in your life and I've destroyed the works of sin and darkness. And you've been set from the penalty of death. You have the power to rule over it. Amen. He gives me a picture of that in Genesis. When Cain got angry with his brother and he was mean and he was livid and he wanted a bit of payback. And God comes up to him and says, what's wrong with you, Cain? What's wrong with you, Cain? If your offering was good, wouldn't it have been accepted? He said, but be aware, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for... Then he said something profound, the Lord. But you should, not him, you should rule over it. Not God. In other words, there's enough in you, Cain. There's enough in you to rule over this. But then Cain, later on it goes, and Cain chose. Sorry, love. My wife's constantly telling me not to touch my nose. Can't help it when it's itchy. Why? Christ did not come flesh to observe us, to see how we're doing. Your God's not spying on you. He already knows what you're doing. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows the intents of your thoughts. Before you think, oh, that's a good idea, he's already thought it. He knows everything. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows when the numbers of the hairs on your head, which are minusing rapidly. He doesn't have to tell me that. He knows the very numbers of the hairs on your head. He knows when one falls out of your comb. That's 1,199 he's lost today. Send the angels, Lord. Mantle me afresh. But he came to serve us. And thus, serving us, he saved me. God was born a man, or of man, so that I might be then born of God. Unless he come as a babe, I could never be born of God. I would have been in a perpetual state of sin. Even though the desire for it, well, I didn't mind and wanted it, I did not have the power over death. That was stripped from me because of the first Adam. Are you with me? So God's plan and purpose was to send this babe who was my Savior, who was not just a babe in a manger, not just singing a nice sweet lullaby, away in a manger, no crib for it. And we think, oh, the poor baby. No, 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 about the poor baby. He came with a purpose. He could have been on the top of a pole and still survived. He came for a reason. And the reason was to set are the Father's beloved free so they can come back into relationship again with the Father so I can walk in the cool of my day with my God back into reconciliation and restoration with the Father. That was the whole purpose of the babe in the manger. He is my Savior. He is my deliverer. He is the one who set me free. He is the one who makes a way. He is the one who cursed sickness and death, and he cursed sin, and he made sin subject to him. He condemned sin in the... Do you know what the word condemn means? Pass sentence over. He passed a sentence over sin, saying, your power is no more over my people. He condemned sin. Where? In the flesh. That's why he had to come flesh. He had to condemn sin in the flesh. He had to come back and restore what the first Adam lost. Baby was in 42 generations from the beginning of the Christ to the Savior of Israel, and we, the world. God sent the last Adam in a body that was similar to the first Adam, sinless, a separated life, a separated body. You with me? He was dedicated, and he was formed and fashioned by the hand and the breath of God. Wasn't the Lord formed and fashioned in the womb? Did not the seed of hit Mary's womb? Was he not created from the seed of God himself? And then did not God's hand form and fashion him, so no contamination of any blood could touch him? And he came forth as a second Adam with a mission. That's why even at the age of 12, he could say, I must be about my father's. So this baby arrived after being prophesied for 42 generations from the beginning that Christ, the Savior of Israel, and we, the world, would come and set a people free. Right from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. You will see it in every book of the Bible. Every book of the Bible will have a shadow and a type of the Christ in it. Every one of them. Foreshadowing the return of a baby whose name would be called Emmanuel. God with us. When the arrival of the baby, he was prophesied that he would be the Savior of the world. It was also the beginning of the end to the power of sickness, sin, and the devil, who had the power of death. At that time, the devil had the power and authority of death. There was one thing the earth and people of the earth could not have dominion over. It was death. But I want to prophesy here this morning. If you're a Christian, do not die. I want to say it again. You do not die. You fall asleep. I'm going to say it again. You fall asleep. To be awakened in that day when the trumpet comes. And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the blessed hope that you have. And it's a blessed hope. And this babe that came, give me that. This man called Jesus. This God who is the creator. Became the creation so he could destroy his people back once and for all. Can I have an amen? Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 18, and I'm going to finish on that. Hebrews 2, 5, 18, we're going to read it together. A lot of people think this is about Jesus at the beginning. Well, it's not. It's about you. It's about mankind. And I'll prove that as you read it. It says, for he has put not the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? Humanity was once called, is still called, the son of man. Small son of man. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That he put all in subjection under what? Him. Small h. It's talking about humanity. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things under him. Are all things under Jesus' feet? Yes. Of course they are. But now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He had to come lower than his creation to experience death. It was impossible for him to experience death, heavenly realm. He had to put on the body. Amen. With crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory. The emphasis of him dying for me, the emphasis of him coming for me, that he might bring forth the sons of glory. Is this okay? Are we getting this? You and I have been designed to carry what? Glory. The glory of God. Yes? 127. What does it say, love? Eh? You can't remember. Really? Colossians 127. Anyone got it? Colossians 127. Yeah, you do. What does it say? The riches of the glory in the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Sons of glory, he's going to bring forth. Amen. But they have to be the image of who?
Christ.
Next. Now, he had to do that through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. All of one what? All of one what? All of one what? Spirit. You're all one spirit. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells where? You can't be wrong. Don't be scared to say something. You can't be wrong. We're all born of the same spirit. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly and sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. He himself likewise shared in the same. He had to share in the same so I could be like him. He had to become like me. So set me free that I might become like him. If he didn't come as a baby, it was impossible for me to fellowship with God. He came so he could destroy sin and death and set me free. That through death he might destroy him, but death that is the devil. Now there was one thing that was not under us, which was what? We didn't have rule over death. And released these through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. And that thing held me in bondage because I did not know what was going to happen to me. Because there is a time to be born and there's a time to die. But the problem was without Jesus, I did not know where that would lead me. Are you with me? For indeed he does give aid to the, does not give aid to the angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Footnote. Have you ever heard of any gospel saying, I just pray to your angel? It's a false gospel. You don't pray to angels. At all. At all. They are ministering spirits sent for, to serve me now. Now seated in heavenly places, I'm above them. Are you with me? You do not pray to angels. And you don't pray to saints. You pray to him and him alone. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful, faithful high priest and pertaining to God, to be, make propitiation for the sins of the people. That word propitiation literally means to have mercy and grace. Another, really, that word literally means this. Do you remember the Ark of the Covenant? Remember that box, you know, with the two cherubim sitting over it? The propitiation seat is the same word as the mercy seat. In other words, stood between the law. And he became the seat of grace, covered in the blood. Because the mercy seat was sprinkled every year with what? With blood. Are you with me? So he became my propitiation. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Even though he had a perfect body and even though he was sinless, he came with a body that was allowed to be tempted. Why? Why would God allow his body to be tempted? The first Adam's body was tempted. Jesus' body was. Do you know Jesus was tempted? Three things the Bible says you will be tempted with. 1 John chapter 2. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All sin is categorized in them 3 points. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And Jesus was tempted on the mountain with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself from here, for surely his angels have given charge over you, and they shall gather you before you dash your foot against a stone. Pride of life. If you're hungry, command these stones to become bread. Lust of the flesh. If you fall down and worship me, all these nations and all this glory I will give unto you. Lust. And what did he say? Get behind me, for it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And immediately he had to flee. And one of the gospels says, till a more opportune time. It doesn't stop. For in that he suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but at all points, all what? All points, tempted as we are. Not specific. The three areas, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all them points cover all of us. Doesn't mean he was tempted to watch pornography because there was no TVs in his day. Doesn't mean he was tempted to have Maccas when he shouldn't. Because there was no Maccas in his day. Next one, please. He became the baby so we could deal with the debt. He could deal with the debt. I could not pay and conquer and condemn sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. The devil was concerned when this baby came on earth because he knew that the path was not over this baby. He knew that. He knew the devil had no power. The power of death had no power over this baby. That's why Herod started to kill children under the age of 2 years. He wanted to wipe out a generation to destroy this body, this sinless body. Amen. Those who believe and receive him and his free gift, they receive the power and the freedom of death. Over them is broken, and finally, all things are now put under me. The power of death has been broken over me. If I'm born again, if I've received him by faith, declared Jesus Christ as my Lord, the power of death has been broken over my life. My body will die, but I will live. I'm going to say that again. My body will die, but I will live. Hallelujah. There is no shadow of doubt. Sin and its power has been broken over my life. In fact, to such a point, he condemned it. You are the object of his love, the focus of his attention. I can now be loved in return and walk with him as he originally intended. This is what this baby did for me. This grace, this love act, this undeserved, unmerited act was for the birth of my Savior. When he came on earth, hell shivered. I'm telling you, hell shivered. Because he was the firstborn that sin and the power of death were broken. And I can prove it. Because in John 16, or John 19, when he was on the cross, it says this, and when it was finished, he gave his spirit. They couldn't kill him. Power of death was not over him. He had to give up his spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. This almighty God, even to the end, still had power and dominion and authority. And he still has.
That's right, love.
And he still has. And guess where it's working through? You. If you're a believer here this morning, If you've received by faith the goodness of your God and believe with your mouth and confessed in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And the minute His Spirit enters your spirit man, that which was dead is now alive. And I can walk in the cool of the day. And I can fellowship with my God. And I can be obedient to His word. Because greater is He that is in me now than he that is in the world. And Satan is where? He's in the world. You have all right of dominion, power, and authority. And you have the power to obey the word. Please, Christians, please, please, don't say this to me. I just couldn't help myself. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I know someone that says that to me quite regular. Where's the chocolate gone? I just couldn't help myself.
That's not me.
Where's my drink gone? I'm sorry, Dave. It was just looking at me. Praise the Lord. And vice versa, of course. She goes, where's my chocolate? Oh, you're seeing things, girl. You're seeing things. You call them those things that are not as though they are. That's not true. You're seeing those things. It's not true. It's not there. He wasn't a manger. He was the embodiment of my salvation. He was the gift of my Father's love and the reflection of God's anointing. He is a reflection of God's intention for those who He loves and bringing many sons to glory. When you see Him, He wants to look at you the same way. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He's the firstborn of many brethren? He's the firstborn of many brethren. He had to be the firstborn. Firstborn among many brethren. Because I am the object of what? I'm the object of His love. For no other reason that He loved to restore back His intention of intimacy with His Adam. He loves you. I want to say that again. He loves you. Faith, hope, and love are upon the earth, and the greatest of these is He loves you. And He wants to bring you forth in this hour. He came that He can condemn sin in the flesh and destroy the power of death over your life once and for all, and destroy the spirit of fear, because my Bible knows it's not given me a spirit of, but of power and of love and the soundness of mind. Amen. This baby in the manger wasn't just any baby. He was the last Adam to bring forth a generation of people. Amen. And He wants to tell you you're the object of His love. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You just got to receive it. I skipped something. I'm going to quickly reflect on it. You can't earn anything by works. There's only one thing earned in the Bible, if you look it up. Romans chapter 6, I believe. For the wages of sin is... Is it 8 or 6? I can't remember. 6, is it? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is... You've got to earn to death. Because wages are something you what? You work for. You earn it. The wages of sin is... But the gift of God... You don't earn a gift. You just got to learn to receive it. But you can... there's people here... There's people in the world today and here that you are earning your way to death. Stop. Just receive by grace that He loves you. He loves you. I can't reiterate that enough. He loves you. You are the object of His love. There is nothing too great and nothing too big. He already knows everything. Amen. and you're empowered from on high to walk free. Let's stand this morning. This babe in Christ. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. This is here sometimes where we dedicate babies. Remember that? With this fresh knowledge, and I needed to say this morning, because a lot of times people have a faith in a little baby in a manger and say, thank you, Jesus. It is so much more than that. So much more. We dedicate babies. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you want to rededicate yourself afresh to Him this morning, if you want to rededicate yourself afresh to Him, all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you shall. There is no shadow of doubt. You are the object of His love. Amen. If you need a fresh touch from God this morning, you just lift your hands before Him. Say, God, here I am. I need a touch of heaven. I need a touch of heaven. I need a fresh touch. God, can you forgive me of that? God, do you realize what I've really done? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. He's condemned that sin in your flesh. He's condemned it. You've got it, and I've got to walk away from it and say, Lord, no more. I rededicate myself afresh at the altar of God. I thank you for the blood that's washed and set me free. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Lord, as the object of our love, we're the object of your love this morning. We come before you boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. Boldly. And we thank you for the gift of your Son, my Redeemer, my Sanctifier, my Healer. I rededicate myself afresh to your purpose and your plans. Rededicate myself afresh, Jesus. And God, I want to walk with you in the cool of my day. I want to be naked and unashamed, Lord. That this world might behold the sons of glory and were not faultless people, but people who know the grace and the love and the mercy of their God. Thank you this morning. And Father, this morning I receive it by faith. Faith. I don't have to try and work at it. I don't have to try and conjure something up. I just got to believe. Help me this morning to believe. And Lord, when I'm faithless, stay faithful. In Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, give Him some glory. Thank you for your Son. I thank you for your Son this morning. I thank you for your gift. And I thank you so much for your love. Now, Lord, help me come to another level of worship. Another level of worship and thanksgiving to my God in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Two quick announcements before I leave this service. We're going to pray in New Year this year. I really believe it's necessary. So we're going to meet here at half past 11 at night on New Year's Day. And we're going to see it through. New Year's Eve. So you can join me if you want. If there's only me, myself and I, we will have a party. But I believe it's necessary. If you want to see something fresh happen, we've got to do things different. And we're going to do a couple of other things shortly. As from next week, we will be having the children's church workers will be having a break for the next 5 weeks to rest. And God's people said, amen. They work very hard and they need a break sometimes. In my day, you didn't have Sunday school. Front of my feet was their Sunday school. They had something to colour in and way betide them if they spoke. So I'm going to give them a break. And you're going to be parents for 5 weeks. Amen. Praise the Lord. And also, I'm going to give my musicians a break for 4 weeks because they're tired. And I don't need a piano or a guitar to get me into the presence of the Lord. We have got something. It's fine. I'm just saying my music team right now needs a rest, and they're going to get a rest. Amen. And we're going to come together, and some of us are going to sing a song. Some of us will make a joyful noise. All right? And some of us, just hum. Hum your way through it. Not really. But we come here week by week, and some are caught in a routine of what should happen. Come on, let's break the constraints. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes. Amen? Yes. And we can make our own music. Glory to God. And they can come back refreshed, revigorated, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And God will start bringing a brand new sound in Jesus' name. Is that okay, church? Well, it doesn't matter because I'm doing it anyway. Because I've got to lead these people. You know, if you keep wearying them, people get tired emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and it's not good. Amen? It's not good. So we're going to have a time, just for 4 weeks, where we music. Not that sort of music, Paul. Not that sort of music, Paul. He's going, oh, good, me, but not that music. Praise the Lord. Have a great Christmas. Grace, we're going to say grace. Have a great Christmas. Have a safe Christmas. And remember the reason for the season. This baby is a little baby that needs to be rocked in the manger. And a nice, he is come to break the power of sin. Amen. And destroy the works of death in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We ask you to bless food this morning, bless our fellowship, bless our conversation. And above all, Father, let everything that has breath give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.